Let's pray before we get started. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you use it to build us up and to teach us. Please do that tonight by your grace. In Christ's name, amen. When I was 5 or 6 years old, my dad took a trip to Lowe's. And like many dads do when they take their when they take a trip to a place like Lowe's, he took me along with him. And on the way, I think I asked my dad, "Where are we going?" And he said, "We're going to Lowe's." And then he asked me, "See if you can spell Lowe's." And he probably thought that I was going to say L-O-W-S. That's probably what most 5 or 6 year olds would say. But I didn't say that. I said L-O-W-E-S. I don't know if I had seen it before, but I spelled it right. And my dad made a really big deal about how impressed he was that at my young age, I was able to spell that right. And in all honesty, I don't remember a lot about my childhood, and I've forgotten a lot about my childhood, but that particular time sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure it will for many, many years to come, because my dad encouraged me in that way. The power of our words is amazing. We have the ability to build other people up with our words, or we have the ability to tear people down with our words. How did you use your words this past week? Were you quick to criticize, or were you quick to encourage? Did you use your words to point out mistakes, or to point out accomplishments? Maybe your personality is such that you're pretty optimistic and you often look for ways to encourage other people. You're kind of a glass half full kind of person. Or maybe you're not so optimistic and you would rather encourage people about how they could improve. You're a glass half empty kind of person. Well, whatever your personality, I think that God has something to teach us tonight from His Word that is going to benefit us spiritually. With one of our 3 goals this year being loving, and with the sermon series that's been going on in the evenings on one anothering, specifically in the setting of a small group, I thought it would be appropriate tonight to focus our minds on a very significant way in which we can build each other up, and that is affirming one another. We're going to see this from Romans 12:10. Because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. That's our big idea that we're going to learn tonight from Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. So let's look at Romans 12:10 together. It says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." And what we're going to see from these verses tonight is this. First of all, we're going to look at the soil of affirmation. We're going to look at the soil of affirming one another. In other words, what is the basis of affirming other people? And then next, we're going to talk about the greenhouse of affirmation. In other words, how do we cultivate this in our lives? And then finally, we're going to look at the fruit of affirmation, or what are the results of affirmation in our lives. So let's, first of all, start with the soil of affirming others. The soil of affirming others is God's grace. The first thing we need to understand about affirmation is that there is nothing in us worthy of affirmation apart from God's grace. There's nothing in us worthy of affirmation apart from God's grace. In God's grace, He made every man in His image. And though that image has been affected by sin, God's grace still runs throughout His people, and the image is not totally marred. And therefore, there are things in us, even in unbelievers, that are worthy of affirming. And specifically in us as believers, there is no goodness in us as believers apart from the grace of God. Now, you might be thinking, well, where does that come from? I didn't see that in Romans 12, verse 10. Well, where this comes from is the context of the book of Romans. You see, when the people who got this letter opened it up, they didn't open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. They had already been reading for 20 or 30 minutes at this point. So what does Paul say before this that leads up to what we see in Romans chapter 12. Well, this is what Paul says before this. He starts off his letter by helping the people see how sinful they are. Really sinful. I mean, really sinful. He doesn't leave any question about where we as humans stand before God. We are doomed, unable and unwilling to do anything about that problem. And that wasn't just true for them, right? That's true for us as well, right? We are really sinful. Just think back to your past week. The time you got so frustrated with your spouse or your kids. You didn't blow up at them this time, but you felt like it. You wanted to. You could just feel it boiling up inside of you. Or the time that you just sat lazily around your house. You knew you should be up doing something profitable and helping your family, but you just chose to sit around and do nothing. Or maybe another time when you slandered somebody who's sitting in this room with us. They frustrated you, and you just had to tell someone else about it. And you justified it by saying that you were just sharing a concern or just getting some feedback. But deep down, you knew that it was wrong. See, we are so sinful. And yet, Paul doesn't stop by talking about sin in the book of Romans. He goes on to talk about God's grace. God's amazing grace. Grace that offers hope to us in light of our sins. Grace that offers forgiveness from our sins. Grace that covers your sins from this past week. Grace that gives you the Holy Spirit to help you fight against sin. Grace that can enable you to please God with your life. And grace that offers one day a life free from sin. You see, God's grace is amazing. And this is Paul's message in chapters 1 through 11. He talks about how sinful we are, but then he goes on to talk about how gracious God is. And so, when we come to chapter 12, verse 10, where it says, "Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor," we know from what Paul said before that this isn't the way we are naturally, right? Because we're sinful naturally. And therefore, any good that's in the life of any believer is a result of the work of Jesus on the cross. Anything that is worthy of affirming in our lives as believers is a direct result of Jesus' work on our behalf. The only reason we have to honor or affirm one another is because of God's grace. And apart from His grace, there is nothing worthy of affirming. And that leads us to our definition of what I mean by affirm one another. What is affirming one another? Well, affirming one another is recognizing God's work in someone else and pointing it out to that person and others. This is what I mean by affirming one another. Recognizing God's work in someone else and pointing it out to that person and pointing it out to other people. Now, there's a potential objection at this point that might come up in your head. You might think, isn't this just puffing someone up? Don't we want to be careful that we don't just feed someone's pride who wants to be recognized by other people? Well, that's true. We don't want to unnecessarily feed pride that's in someone else's life. But that's why this first point is so important. That the soil of affirming one another is God's grace. That there is nothing in us worthy of affirmation apart from His grace. You see, when we affirm God's work in someone else, we aren't glorifying that person, we're glorifying God. When we honor other people for God's work in them, we're honoring God. Let me illustrate it this way. Several months back, my wife and I were walking through the mall, and we came past an athletic wear store. And as I looked in, I saw hanging up an Atlanta Braves shirt. I'm in a very big Atlanta Braves fan, and so I was immediately drawn into that store because of that shirt. And there are two things that I really like. One is the Atlanta Braves. Another is dry fit shirts, and this was both of those. And there is one thing that my wife really likes, and that's a good sale. And that was true about this shirt as well. It was on sale. And so I got this shirt, and I wore it to work one day. It was a collared shirt, and I wore it to work. And the second largest Atlanta Braves fan on the hall here at Hampton Park, Joshua Pegram, saw me walking down the hall with this shirt on, and he said, "Ben, I like your shirt." Now, when Joshua said that to me, was he complimenting me? Not really. I mean, I hadn't made the shirt. I was just wearing it. He just happened to see it on me. When Joshua said that, he was really complimenting the person who made the shirt or the person who designed the shirt, in this case, Nike. You see, when we affirm the goodness of God in someone else's life, we're not glorifying that person. We're glorifying the one who's working in that person, God. So what kind of things should we look for to affirm in other people? Well, I think sometimes we're really good at affirming external things, like, "I like your shirt," or "that's really nice jewelry," or "man, you have a really nice house," or "a nice car." We're really good at affirming externals. What I think we need to get better at as believers is looking for God's work in someone else's life and affirming that thing to them, looking for the goodness in their character. We're looking for the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We're looking for servant-heartedness or their spiritual gifts and looking for these kind of things that demonstrate that God's at work in them and pointing those kind of things out to each other. You see, because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. Now, if it glorifies God to point out affirmations in other people's lives, then we might ask, why don't we do it more often? Why don't I see this happening more often? I mean, I personally can think of several times where I had opportunities to affirm other people this past week, and I chose not to. Why is that? And that leads us to our second point. We first talked about the soil of affirming one another. The basis is God's grace. But let's move on to talk about the greenhouse for affirming others, or how do we cultivate this in our lives? And that is through Christ-like humility. In Romans 12:10, if you have it open, look down at it. Paul doesn't just tell us to honor one another. What does he say? He says, outdo one another in showing honor. The original word has the idea of leading each other in showing honor or going before each other in showing honor. So if you can imagine with me for a second, a bunch of people in a church like ours trying to go before each other in showing honor, you can see why it's translated outdo one another, because that's the picture that you get. In other words, this is really important. This is a good thing to do, and this is something that we should be doing. So what keeps us from doing it more often? Well, put simply, I believe the reason is this. Because we care too much about our own affirmation and our own honor. We are spiritually competitive. John Piper put it this way. When our mouths are empty of praise for others, it is probably because our hearts are full of love for self. When our mouths are empty of the praise for others, it's probably because our hearts are full of love for self. Especially in a setting like this where we're expecting each other to grow spiritually, we kind of want to be the person that's pointed out for God's work in us, right? I mean, I don't want to praise that person. I want that person to praise me for God's work in me. Why didn't I get recognized? Why didn't they call me up to the front? I mean, that person seems like they're always getting recognized for what they do. Why don't I ever get recognized for what I do? Many times we fail to affirm others because we're too worried about thinking about and about searching for affirmation for ourselves. And have you ever felt that burden of trying to work for others' affirmation? The only reason you're doing what you're doing is because you're searching for that next compliment. It's a stressful way to live. But the good news is that the gospel frees us from living that stress-filled life. See, when we rightly understand the gospel, it changes the way we think about affirmation. There's a difference between religion and the gospel. Religion says, I need to work in order to be accepted by God. The gospel says, I'm already accepted by God in Jesus Christ. Religion says, I need to work for my honor. I need to work so that others will affirm me and so that God will affirm me. But the gospel says, you have already been accepted in Jesus. You don't need to work for it. This sets us free, you see, from having to earn our own affirmation, and it sets us free to give affirmation to others. The gospel sets us free from having to earn our acceptance so that we can freely and joyfully affirm other people. And because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. Now, somebody might be thinking at this point, there's all this talk of affirmation. What about correction? Right? Let's get on to some correction. Well, what about correction? What about confrontation? Is there still a place for that within while we're talking about affirmation? Yes, we still do need to confront people at times. We need to point out people's sin at times. However, I believe the pattern of our lives should not be one of correction. The pattern of our lives towards other people should be one of affirming them. You know, often other people don't receive our correction because of the fact that they don't even know that we care about them. We've never taken the time to affirm them in any way. Now, what I don't want you to get from that is that the only purpose of affirmation is so that we can confront someone in the future. We don't want to just walk up to people and say, hey, let me tell you something really good about you. Now let's get to what I really want to say. Okay, that's not the point. And also, there may be times where you do need to confront someone when you haven't had the chance to affirm them. I'm not saying that those situations don't exist. However, I believe the pattern of our lives should be to affirm others. And then, when it comes time to correct, they'll receive it because they'll know that we care about them. So make the pattern of your lives towards others one of affirmation, with correction being the exception. For as Paul says, outdo one another in showing honor to each other. So let me ask some questions. Parents, is your pattern to affirm your children or to correct them? Do you look for opportunities to commend and honor them? Or are you just waiting for the next time that they're going to mess up and you have to correct them? Children, how often do you affirm the selfless love of your parents? Do you ignore all their kindness just to focus on all the times that they mess up? Open your eyes to all of their sacrificial acts of love towards you and affirm them. Husbands and wives, do you honor each other regularly, even in front of other people? Do you point out and thank each other for the strengths in each other's lives, or are you always focusing on what annoys you or what bothers you about the other person? What about our church as a whole? Are you more likely to look around here at Hampton Park and complain about what you don't like? Or are you actively looking for the amazing grace of God that's running through the lives of people here so that you can point it out to them and affirm them and honor them? Older and younger here at Hampton Park, we know that we have a lot of differences and tastes and likes and preferences. But in all reality, the differences pale in comparison to what we have in common. God's grace is running through each of our lives, and we have much to affirm and honor in each other. We, especially those of us who are younger, have much to affirm in those who have served God so faithfully throughout the years. And this involves getting to know each other and talking to each other and praying with each other and spending time with each other. Since we're here together, let's commit to getting to know each other and building each other up by affirming one another. Because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. See, the gospel tells us that we're completely accepted by God. We don't have to fight for affirmation. We can freely give it to all those who are around us. So we've looked at the soil of affirming others, God's grace. We looked at the greenhouse of affirming others, how we cultivated in our lives this Christ-like humility. And that leads to our last point, the fruit of affirming others, brotherly love. I don't think it's a mistake how Paul begins verse 10. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. We might ask him, what does that look like, Paul? What does it look like to love one another with brotherly affection? Well, here's one way. Outdo one another in showing honor. Affirm God's grace in each other. Honor each other for the work that God is doing in and among you. Any goodness in any one of us is a result of God's grace. So when we affirm others, it not only builds them up, it actually glorifies God because it's His work in them. When I was in high school, I played on the soccer team. And one thing that my coach did, James Whitaker, that I think built a really healthy atmosphere on our soccer team, is he picked a new captain for each game. And the effect that this had on us during the year is that every practice we were working really hard because we knew that we each had the opportunity of being captain the next game. So we were always working really hard to be the best on the team. And that's the way it is with most groups of people in the world, right? In a job situation, you're going to be working so that you get the next promotion. In an athletic team, you're working to be the best. But that's not the way it is in the church. You see, the gospel unites a group of people who have already all been accepted through the perfect life and atoning death of Jesus Christ, their Savior. Therefore, we no longer need to compete for the highest spot. We no longer need to work to try to get ahead of each other. There's no need for spiritual competition. We have already been completely accepted, so we are free to actively affirm God's work in each other. See, those who feel like they still have to earn their acceptance from God and other people, they can't really affirm others that much because they have to hold a little bit back for themselves. However, for those of us who have been completely accepted in Jesus, we are free to actively affirm other people and affirm God's work in their lives. So what does this look like practically? Let me give you a few suggestions. First of all, let me recommend a book to you. I meant to bring it, but I forgot. The book is called Practicing Affirmation, God-Centered Praise for Those Who Are Not God. It's a book by a guy named Sam Crabtree, and it's a really helpful and practical book on why we should affirm others and how we can affirm others. In fact, in the back of the book, he gives 100 suggestions of how you can affirm someone else. So those of you who like to read, I would recommend that book to you. Here's another idea. Simply tell someone that you thank God for them. Just go up to somebody and say, you know what? I thank God for you. It points out to that person that you value them as a friend and that you see God at work in their life. Or think of something that's normally not praised here at church. Something that we just expect. Like the bathrooms being clean. Or the PowerPoint running smoothly. We just expect those things to happen. Now, typically, the people who do those things day after day so faithfully don't get recognized until something's not going right, right? Be the person that recognizes when it's clean. Be the person that recognizes when it runs smoothly. And go and thank those people for serving our church so faithfully. On someone's birthday, you could go around the room and have everyone mention what they appreciate about that person. Or you could talk to someone and let them know an area of their lives in which they're like Christ and tell them, listen, you're like Christ in this way. And I want to follow you as you follow Christ in that way. Or look around you at someone else and notice an area of someone's life in which they're better at you than something and point that out to them, especially somewhere, a spiritual area where they're better than you. Or look for the fruits of the Spirit in someone's life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And when you see one of the fruits of the Spirit evidenced in someone's life, point it out to them and encourage them with that. Parents, when your children follow through with what you ask them to do, point it out to them. And thank them for their faithfulness and for their obedience. Young adults here at Hampton Park, talk to one of the older saints in our church and ask them about their spiritual journey. And then thank them for their faithfulness to God and for committing themselves to our body here at Hampton Park. The gospel says you are accepted. You no longer have to fight for acceptance from God. And this sets us free. Free to put others before ourselves. Free to rejoice in others' accomplishments. Free to affirm the goodness in others. Free to rejoice when they get the spotlight. Free to go out of our way to let someone know that we appreciate them. Free to outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Because the gospel sets us free, we should build each other up by affirming one another. And we need this. And God can help us. God can help our church so that affirmation is the pattern of communication here at Hampton Park. Because remember, this isn't just, Romans 12:10 isn't just a nice fact. It's not just a nice statement. It's a command to all those of us who are believers. You, members of Hampton Park Baptist Church, outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for accepting us, not on our own merits, but on the merits of Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to struggle and stress out about having to earn our way into your favor. Thank you that you've already accepted us based on the work of Jesus. I ask that you would give us humble hearts that are quick to point out your grace in other people's lives so that the pattern of our lives here at Hampton Park can be to build each other up by affirming each other. Please do this in our lives by your grace and for the health of our church. In Christ's name, amen.